Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the arabah will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with palpitating heart, "Take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the arabah. And the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes. And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go upon it. And the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return, and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." What a wonderful passage of Scripture found in the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. There is, my friend, a way where heartaches will end, joys will be eternal. There is a way. We live, I believe, in an age of travel. I know that I can take my telephone and I can just touch certain parts of the face of that telephone and it will give me explicit directions on how to get to where I want to go. 2 weeks ago or three, I was in the state of Tennessee and I was staying with some people that live out in the country. Some of the roads out there weren't even named, and most didn't have street signs like they do here in Phoenix. But I could put into that telephone their address, the address of the place that I wanted to go to, and it would give me instructions even out there in the country. Then from there I went to a city environment, the city of Kansas City, in fact. And if I wanted to go downtown Kansas City to a particular address, I could leave my daughter's house, who lives up by the airport, and it would give me explicit instructions. Those systems, those GPS systems, just make travel so much more convenient for us, and we get to the place we want to go to, at least I do, a lot better than and more regularly than I used to, when I seems like spent a lot of time lost in looking for the places I wanted to go. I want you to imagine for a moment, for the sake of our consideration this morning, that we want to take a trip from Anchorage to Fairbanks, Alaska. And we're in a motorhome. And there are some questions that we would need to answer before that trip would begin. We would need to know, is there a road that connects the two? And the answer to that would be yes. It's called Highway 2. And if there is, where is that road? And that road, incidentally, is on the northwest side of Anchorage. Then, the third question I would need to consider, where can I learn about that road and get complete information about it? And the answer would be, I can go to the AAA in Anchorage, and they have complete information about Highway 2. The fourth question that I might need to consider before I set out on my trip is how can I get to the road, and are there any hindrances on my way there? Is there construction, or are there other considerations? And the answer would be yes, it's a toll road. So I would have to make sure that I had the appropriate funds to pay the tolls to use that road. And then with those four pieces of information, is there a road? If there is, where is it? Where can I go to learn about it? And how do I get to it, and are there any hindrances? Once I get that information, I would have only one more question. And how can I keep on the right way? Are there adequate signs to assure me along the way? Are there road signs on that highway? Are there guides along the way? Are there places that provide tourist information? Are there rest stops like there are here in the area with which I'm familiar that would give you maps and during certain hours of the day information? And then with that information, I could know positively that if I ever got on the right road and continued to go without ever letting up, I'd get to Fairbanks. I could be assured of that. Now let me ask, is there a New Jerusalem? Is there a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God? Is that place that Abraham talked about in Hebrews the 11th chapter and verse 10 real? Well, I believe that there is. And my next question is, do I want to reach that destination? When life's journey is over, do I want to go to that city? And of course, every sane and sober person would answer in the affirmative to that question. Let's use the same logic that we did in getting from Fairbanks to see if we can get to heaven. First of all, is there a way that leads from where I am to where I want to go? Is there a way that leads from my circumstances now to heaven? If not, we may as well close out all of our religious services and write Finis over every church building's door. Take down the blood-bought banner of Jesus Christ and raise a black flag of infidelity and atheism and just throw up our hands in defeat. But there is a way, and that's what Isaiah prophesied in chapter 35 as we opened our lesson. In verse 8, he said, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." I want you to hold that thought, that there's a highway, that there's a way, and notice something else about that verse. The way that is referred to there by Isaiah is singular. He didn't say that there were a lot of ways. He said it shall be called the way of holiness. Isaiah plainly pictures the coming of Christ, the evidence by which he shall be known. He says in verses 5 and 6, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap, and the tongue of the dumb will sing." Now I can turn in the New Testament, which is about 800 years after Isaiah spoke the words that we read, and I can find fulfillment of all of these things. I read in Matthew the 7th chapter and verse 13, there in that great sermon that Jesus preached on the mountain, I read a warning about the highway prophesied by Isaiah. Like Isaiah, Jesus said there are two ways that challenge man. He said there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus said, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Isaiah said there's a way. Jesus said few would choose to travel that way. And now another question. Where is that road to eternal life? Allow me to read the beginning with John 14 and verse 1 and going through verse 6. If you have your Bible, turn to that famous and that hopeful passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and let's read the first 6 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let me just enter a statement, a comment there. Jesus was talking to the disciples who had just learned that he was going to die. They were troubled. They were just so upset and couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And Jesus spoke to them with this hopeful passage that we're now reading. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Indeed, Jesus answers the question, where is that road to eternal life? Notice Christ didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I am some way. He didn't say any of those things. He didn't say, I am one way of many. He said, I am the way. To emphasize, he continued to say that he is the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The religious world that we live in today seeks unity by saying that we're all seeking the same objective, so even though we take different roads, we can all get to the same place. If you'll remember in last week's lesson, we made some opening comments concerning denominationalism. And we showed that denominationalism to the Bible is a foreign subject. We are to be unified. The church is one body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 so clearly states that. But the Bible knows one way. And only one way. Jesus says, I am the way. Now, having learned that there is a way, and that the way is Christ, our next question is, where can I learn about that way? Jesus said in John the 5th chapter in verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. Well, who is the me? Well, it's the same as I am the way of John, the 14th chapter. Hence, all information is contained in scriptures that we need, that is necessary to learn about this way, because Paul says in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in verse 15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. With those questions answered, we can now consider, how can I get to Christ? That's perhaps the greatest question, the most important and meaningful question that we'll ever ask in life. How can I get to Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life? In John 6 and verse 44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day. Now, lots of speculation has taken place on how God draws man to Christ. The answer, though, is found in Romans the 1st chapter and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There, in that passage that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. That is the very theme of the book of Romans. Paul says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So that's how God draws man to Jesus Christ. It's through his power in the gospel. Man comes to Christ by hearing and learning of him from the Father, according to John, the 6th chapter, and verse 45. The religion of the Bible is a thing man learns, and learning is the first step towards Christ. No wonder Christ said, "Go therefore and teach all nations." And again he said, "Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature," Mark the 16th chapter and verse 15. Also in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "For it has pleased God by that which the world calls the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Therefore, man is drawn to Christ by hearing the Word of God, by learning from the Word of God. We know that faith comes by hearing. That's stated very clearly in Romans the 10th chapter and verse 17. When man believes something, the next logical step to do is turn toward acceptance of that which he believes. Hence, faith and repentance draw man unto Christ. Now I want to consider with you for a moment the word unto, a very important word for us to understand in our study together today. By definition, it means to or toward. It means in the direction of. I want you to note that it never means transferred from without to within. Every step you took today from the house that you started at, from the time you left until the time you reached the front door of the building that you're at, was a step unto. Then it was necessary to take another step to get into the place that you wanted to be. There's quite a difference, isn't there, in the meaning of unto and into. Let me illustrate that this way. A knife unto an object and then into the object. You can't get into without first coming unto. I loved bacon and tomato sandwiches. And I love that little farmer's market on 75th Avenue at just south of Bethany Home Road that sells homegrown tomatoes during the season. And I'm a regular customer there. And I have a favorite knife at home that cuts those big old beefsteak tomatoes just the way that I want them to be cut. But I would tell you, unless I get that knife and take it unto the tomato, it will never get into the tomato to make that slice. Going to visit someone is another illustration. They don't say, "Come unto the house." They say, "Come into the house," don't they? From the very fact that you're there, ringing the doorbell means that you've already come unto the house. But the fact that you're not inside means that you haven't come into. Now, here's the point. How do we get into Christ? Well, it's not by faith, because that brings us unto Christ. Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 10, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." The word into never follows faith. You cannot believe into anything. In Acts the 11th chapter and verse 18, the brethren at Jerusalem said, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Repentance was not into, but unto life. So then I have another question. It's this. Are there any barriers to stop me from entering into the way? I wonder if we would accept without reservation that what the Bible has to say about this. Would you be willing to turn to the Bible and answer that question and just believe what it says? If so, I invite you to turn to Romans the 6th chapter. In Romans the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 1 and continuing through verse 4, the Bible says this. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Did you hear what the Bible has to say about getting into Christ? What does it mean? Well, it means, like my dad used to say, what it says. We are baptized into Christ. What does that mean? It means a transition, transitioning from outside to inside. It would be impossible to baptize someone into Christ unless they came unto Christ. Just like you couldn't come into this building without first coming unto this building. You took certain steps to get here, and then you took the final step to get in. Again, in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verses 26 and 27, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ." In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Paul wrote, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." How can we misunderstand the clarity of those passages? But someone says, "I don't believe in baptism." Well, neither do I. I believe in Christ, and that means I'll do what he says for me to do. Let me illustrate. If you go to a doctor that you have faith in, and he tells you that you have a certain malady, and he gives you orders on what to do to correct that, would not following his orders be a bad thing or a good thing? Knowing the way and being in the way isn't enough. We must keep going until we reach our destination. There are warning signs all along the way. Pray without ceasing. Practice pure and undefiled religion. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Let your light shine. Be thou faithful unto death. And then when the end comes, our Master will transport us by his grace into the glory of our Father's home. But we'll never see that street of gold. We'll never see those mansions. We'll never feel the assurance that Jesus talked about in John the 14th chapter that we read earlier, unless we come unto the Word of God and through obedience come into Jesus Christ. I thank you for listening, and I want to reiterate, if I could for just a moment, our invitation at the Monte Vista Church of Christ for you to come and visit one of our worship assemblies. We gather together for Bible study at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and that's followed after a short intermission by our worship service. We have in our worship service only those things as authorized by the Word of God. If you have not attended the Church of Christ, you might be surprised at some of the things you see and some of the things that you don't see. What I suggest that you do, what I ask that you do, is that you bring your Bible and you check everything that you see, everything that you hear, everything that you don't see, with the Word of God to ascertain if in fact we are following the Word of God or if we are being directed by the fallacies of man. It's incumbent upon you to investigate, and thus we invite you to come. I believe that we have a warm and a friendly group of people here that will welcome you, that will study the Bible with you if that's your desire. I hope to meet you soon. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ.
Amen.